And now.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to you, it's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herba, we welcome in Matt Schick from Schick and Nick. Of course, you hear him on Sirius XM. You watch him on ESPN, ESPNU at ESPN underscore Schick is where you can find him. May or may not be wearing a Storm That Puppy t-shirt. True or false, Schick?
Not wearing it currently. Not currently wearing a shirt. No, that's a different story. I need to get a hold of one of those. You know, Kent Pavelka has. I think he bought all of them, so we're sold out at the moment. So I need to find a way to get a Storm That Puppy shirt. You know, he's a very proprietary guy. You know, that's his saying, his slogan, and so he's going to profit off of it.
Well, I mean, there were multiple mentions during Nebraska's historic season. With Jake and Kent and the Schick and Nick show, while you know that decade drought was being quenched, you got to smile about that.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I feel good for all parties involved. I feel good for Kent. Kent needs something to be happy about and to smile about. And let me tell you, what would be better? Then you weigh the two things, drop-off championship or an NCAA tournament win. I think we all know the answer to the shirt.
Well, and I haven't checked in with him in a while, so I don't know if he's marking up the price or it's just a shrine in his room, but it's pretty good. Another question I have for you, have you thrown any heating pads today?
Oh.
No, I haven't. That's quite a thing. You know, as Tim Legler said this morning, you know, Jamal Murray didn't shoot the ball very well, so it's very not shocking at all. He missed the referee with his shot there.
Wow.
But, yeah, I haven't thrown any heating pads. That's something that, I mean, Jamal Murray, I think his punishment should be, no, you don't have to. You will get suspended, but not only that, your next game, you will be watching from the nosebleeds, and you can actually sit with people who do that type of stuff.
That's true. Now, we're going to lay our cards on the table. Elijah.
I don't want to speak on this.
Well, no, you're a proud partner of the show, and you've been a Denver fan as long as live. So he's had a little issue today. And we've all had that moment, Chick, where you've wanted to file divorce on your sports team. And last night may have been yours, Elijah. 0-1 Colorado may have been mine, technically, because I was still a student covering Nebraska or, you know, attending / interning or whatever. And then do you have a Bills moment or do you have a Bills top five?
Well, number one is the Music City Miracle.
Yeah,
that was just a punch in the gut. You go from Mr. Steve Christie killing a field goal and Wade Phillips going nuts and celebrating to one of the great Travis Shamm mockeries in the history of officiating, which we won't get into. I mean, you know, I'll get into it for 8 seconds. I mean, you watch the replay of that, and the side judge is appearing into the frame just as the pass is being caught. He was in no position to make that call. But I digress. That's one. There was another where the Bills were playing the Patriots, and the game was essentially over. The Patriots throw up a ball into the end zone from midfield. They call pass interference on the Bills and put the ball at the 1 yard line. They wind up winning the game. So that was one. Flutie was the quarterback there. I think it was against Bledsoe. So that's how far back that thing goes. You know, the Super Bowls were what they were, not terribly. I mean, they were disappointing, but, you know, at least you never had to wonder. I wonder what would have happened if we made the Super Bowl that year, because we knew. But those would be my couple. You know, Elijah, back to the Denver thing. I mean, it's so funny how we're having this conversation about, okay, I'm fed up with this team. You know, Jamal Murray throwing the thing. We can't beat Minnesota. He just won the world championship last year. It's like, I was hosting ESPN Radio last weekend. People are talking about the wringing their hands about Giannis and not staying healthy and what do they do with him. I'm like, you won a championship a few years ago. It's fine. Doesn't the statute of limitations hold up a little bit where we're not going to gripe for a few years about winning it all? My goodness.
Well, the problem is, Schick, and maybe this comes from a place of, I don't know, overconfidence, but whenever a team wins a championship, you think that they are going to respond like champions from that point forward. And the Nuggets did not. Yeah, okay, the officiating was circa 1987 last night. No blood, no foul. The Nuggets just absolutely folded under those circumstances. They got outfought by the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves were hungrier. And as soon as things started going against the Nuggets, they packed it up. And that's my big problem with it, is how are you going to respond like that the year after you were world champions? It's embarrassing.
Well, the Timberwolves were hungry for Nuggets, and they were there. So what else can you say?
That was pretty funny during the halftime show yesterday. I haven't seen the Nuggets get demolished like this since Charles Barkley's last time at McDonald's.
Yeah. That's all right.
Pretty good.
Matt Schick's with us. Few minutes. It's Hail Varsity Radio at ESPN underscore Schick. So, Schick, need to get your thoughts on, you know, Nebraska football, the hype trains are moving on down the track in some corners. Your compadre from CU, Joel Klatt, has the Big Red in his early top 25, but lots of anticipation already, and then that may have been verified to many during the spring game, albeit just a spring game. What did you think of Raiola, and what did you think of Nebraska?
Nebraska looked great against Nebraska. They looked it's always so hard, right? It's just so hard to put all your chips in the middle. But you can't deny that Raiola, the ball comes out of his arm a little bit different than you're accustomed to there at Nebraska. They've had some good quarterbacks in the past. I'm not sure they had a guy with an arm like this, so that matters. And I think there's just something about buying into the hope, knowing that with, you know, barring some sort of unforeseen transfer or injury, you've got a bona fide quarterback in there for a few years, and you got a coach that's not going anywhere, and you've got players that aren't going anywhere. I mean, no one's hopping into the portal after a 5-win season. If they are, it's because, you know, they either disgruntled or want a better opportunity or whatever, but you're not seeing this mass exodus. You're seeing guys flock there. You're seeing recruits still want to check out Nebraska and high-level prospects despite a 5-win season. Those kind of things matter. So I, long-term, I'm buying in. In terms of 12-month short-term, there's no doubt the schedule builds itself for at least 6 wins. I think you're at the point now where anything short of 6 is very disappointing, considering you put it together with duct tape last year and were able to be on the verge of bowl eligibility. So the number one score games that they had in overtime and a top 25 defense and a majority of guys coming back, they're going to be one of the more experienced teams outside of the quarterback position. To me, that leans itself to being justifiably optimistic. And I would say those who are saying 9-10 wins are a little out over their skis, but I think 7-8 wins is very realistic and perhaps be the expectation.
Matt, when you talk about justifiable off-season hype, hope, if you will, it feels like we're going on 10, 15, 20, maybe an infinite amount of off-seasons where Nebraska seeming justifiable off-season hype. There's a reason Nebraska is called the off-season national champion year after year. What to you feels different about this time around than, say, the past 9?
Well, I think you have, for the first time in more than 10 years, I think you have a head coach who's a mature adult. So I think that's helpful. I think you have hope that isn't tied as much. It's tied to a coach, but it's also tied, tangible hope tied to the most important position in all of sports, and that's the goal, and that's the quarterback. That matters. So I think those two things are kind of in lockstep now, where you've got a proven head coach and a guy who's being regarded as a potential NFL-caliber quarterback. When's the last time that you had that at Nebraska? So, again, I think you can have righteous optimism, but at the same time, it needs to be cautious simply because of where you've been before. But I think it's a good time to be a Nebraska fan amidst this changing landscape going on in college football, that there seems to be someone steadying the ship there at Nebraska, and I think that matters.
Is it a good time to be a Buff fan?
Is it a good time? I would define good. I hate to go all Bill Clinton on you, but it depends on what your definition of good is. It's a good time if you want attention. It's not a good time, I don't think, if you want stable consistency. It's really hard for me to see this program being anything more than a 4, 5, 6 win season, a 6 win team. I just don't, you know, it's kind of the antithesis of Rule right now, where you know Rule's in it for the long haul. I don't know if anyone can justifiably say that about Deion. And that, to me, as a Colorado grad, is troubling. But it's kind of enjoy it while you can. Hopefully Shador is as good as he thinks he is, and as good as his dad thinks he is, and as good as some of what he showed last year. But I just don't know how you have revolving doors of player personnel and hope to have anything resembling a very successful year.
From a short-term standpoint, is this – what do you believe? Do you think Deion will eye an NFL opening? Do you think Colorado could be done with him after 2 years? And I'm sorry to go this direction this soon, but, I mean, there is a worst-case scenario out there with all the youth they're relying on.
There's definitely a worst-case scenario out there, but I think, you know, I try to look at it through a lens of, you know, after last season, Deion was worth his contract simply because of the attention that he brought. That being said, this year is very important for them to show something on the field that resembles a consistent product that you can build from, because, you know, your windows of opportunity go by very, very quickly. And for Colorado, it might have lasted a month last year, that first month of the season. They get all that attention. And then what? And then this whole offseason with kind of disparaging former players and stories written about you. You know, there just needs to be a maturity at the head coach position of, I don't have time for the noise of these stories. I need to work on my program and hunker down and get going here. You know, I don't know that he's necessarily going to follow Shador or anyone to the NFL. But if he wants another head coaching job and use it as a springboard to a better college head coaching job, you'd better show this year that you can build on what you started and finish what you began, and I hope he can do that.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Matt Schick's with us a few minutes. It's Hail Varsity Radio at ESPN_Schick.
Matt, Nebraska fans, and I think Colorado fans too, already have that game in September circled, Nebraska-Colorado at Memorial Stadium. What does that game mean to you? Do you think that could be a game that in part determines how new head coaches decide to try to build their rosters in the future of college football as everything kind of changes with the portal? It's the Wild West right now. Do you think that's a game that can influence how other teams try to rebuild?
I think it's a game that can teach you a lot of lessons about how quickly things can change on you. Because let's be honest, I mean, you know, Matt Rule tried to plug and play a quarterback last year and a couple of other positions, and it didn't necessarily work out. But I think what the tried and true way to build outside of the, you know, these programs that can do it no matter what kind of way, you still have to build it through high school recruiting and retaining your talent. And so is that game going to teach us anything? It might just teach us that, you know, Nebraska is ready for prime time, pun intended. But at the same time, will it teach you anything about how good either team is if Colorado isn't as good? I just think that game turns into, it's all about revenge. It's all about, you know, getting back at Nebraska, getting back at Colorado for what happened last year, and trying to do the, you know, the whole return to dominance, restore the order type of thing. And I think Nebraska is certainly primed to do that. But I cannot wait for the quarterback matchup of Raiola and Shador, assuming that Matt Rule names Raiola the starting quarterback before that game.
Schick, are you coming back? We think it's going to be a night game.
Oh, that's an interesting proposition. You know what's funny? I think my wife and 10-year-old son are going to that game because it's the annual rite of passage where when you turn 10, my father-in-law takes you to a Husker game, and my wife gets to piggyback and take a free trip back home. So I think they picked the Colorado game, I believe, to go to, which I'm insanely jealous about. I might sneak into the stowaway luggage there and try and get there. But here's the thing, like, could I even go there and wear Colorado gear? Like, I would have to be so neutral because I don't want to get beat up, but I also don't want to be on the losing end, right? So I got to play it so I can't lose in that. So I got to figure out what my dress would look like. But I would love to be there. That game's going to be electric.
Well, here's what you do, Schick. You wear your Colorado gear to the press box and cheer the entire game.
Yeah, done.
I'm sure everyone would love that.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll get me some free Valentinos with my press pass. the chef will look up at me with squinty eyes and say, "Hey, why don't you try this piece over here? This is especially for you."
All the red pepper flakes you won. I had to wear a Buffs hat in the '94 game because I sat in the Buffs section with my cousin who went to Colorado. That's the only way I could get into the 200th sellout. It was my family members, some of them went to Colorado, never graduated, but anywho, they were wearing the old Fred Flintstone buffalo hat, right? With the horns and the fur and yeah.
Well, I think I told you.
I torched the hat afterwards.
I've told you this before, Schmitty. My cousin currently finishing up her freshman year at CU, and she's trying to make it out to Lincoln for the game. I'm like, get yourself one of the guest passes in the student section from my little sister. Wear your Buff gear. It's going to be great. I promise nothing will be said your way while you're in the student section wearing all your Buff gear. So I'm hoping that happens.
Yeah, keep hoping.
No, just make sure you get your upgrade your liability to comprehensive insurance on your car before you go out there. That way you're totally covered and you can cheer as loud as you want and honk your horn as loud as you want driving in.
Hold on a minute. So the old detailing and remodeling of vehicles, I don't know that that's happened to Buff fans in Lincoln. I know it's happened a lot in Boulder, Schick.
Well, here's the problem. You want to know why? It's because there are so many more Nebraska fans that go out to Boulder that it's bound to happen. Colorado's not traveling as well. So, 1,000 vehicles versus 20, yeah, play the numbers. I mean, of course it's going to happen out there. It's a Russian roulette.
It's a numbers game. Matt Schick's with us. ESPN_Schick. Sirius XM Satellite and, of course, ESPN, ESPNU. Last thought, Schick, we'll get you out. Husker baseball, yep. And I know you do a great job of covering college baseball, but your assessment of the Big Ten, I know most projections have Nebraska in as a 2 seed. The latest I saw was Charlottesville. But what's your, let's say Nebraska doesn't win either the regular season or doesn't win the Big Ten tournament. I think they're okay, but where are they coming out of the Big Ten in your eyes?
Well, I think they're okay simply because their metrics tell you that they're okay. And this is one of the good things about not watching all of the games if you're on the committee. I mean, we always have this conversation. I'll be anchoring the selection show that Monday on Memorial Day, and I'm sure I'll get a bunch of texts from people in Nebraska going, "Are they in? Are they in?" And I'll have to play coy, even though I know the answer already. But I think it's, the metrics might belie what's actually happening on the field, but you can't ignore the numbers. Mm-hmm. And the fact is they might not be a top 25 team, but metrically they are, and I think that matters. So I think if you're a Nebraska baseball fan, you're feeling pretty good. But at the same time, you still need to finish strong. You don't want to have an early exit of the Big Ten tournament, those kind of things that leave it into the committee's hands. But they've had such a strong season that you'd be hard-pressed to believe. I mean, I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that they're in perhaps regional host mode, but they would have to have a lot of special things happen down the stretch in order for that to happen.
All right. Well, we'll see how it shakes out for Nebraska. Schick, appreciate the time. It's always fun to talk. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Always good. Hang on. Sorry about your Nuggets, Elijah. You just have to, sorry about that world championship that only happened 10 months ago, buddy.
Yeah, I have to always sit back and just say, growing up as a Nuggets fan, I never ever thought I'd see the day. So no matter what happens this year, it'll be frustrating short term, but long term, at least the Nuggets got one.
Yeah, I mean, I remember living in Denver, and it was, hey, are we going to the Bulls game tonight? You know, it was never about going to the Nuggets game. You waited till Jordan was in town, and you're going to see the Bulls game. Now they're actually, I mean, it's amazing what has happened there. And move over, Dennis. So, I mean, this is good.
Hey, and on the bright side, it's still an Avs town, and the Avs play tonight. So go Avs.
There you go.
Schick, be good, buddy. Thank you.
All right, buddy. See you guys.
Good to hear from Matt Schick. Spend time with him. Both segments on the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. Can also catch it and rewind it on YouTube, Hail Varsity YouTube, and rewatch Hail Varsity Radio Twitter at HVarsity Radio. So there are two sports names trending right now on Twitter. One is Wade Boggs. We have talked about the 999 challenge. Nine beers, nine dogs, nine innings.
Could be a good weekend for it, by the way.
Might be a great weekend for it if I'm not golfing. Other is the Wade Boggs challenge. I got it wrong. I thought he drank like 32 beers, 33 beers cross country. Well, the urban legend is at 107 beers cross country. That's a jump.
If the Avs lose tonight, I might take down 107.
Here's the other thing. Is it the over-under on how many beers Ric Flair had before he lipped off? Ric Flair trending on social media, woo.